Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Yud Dalet. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Chaim Ben Rev Levi. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin about a third of the way down, about 15 lines from the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of a Machlokes as to whether or not the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was in fact a Halacha L'maisa or just a Beis Medrash type of a discussion. We know, of course, we learned in the first Mishnah, just to remind ourselves, that Beis Hillel said that the Chamesh Esrei Noshim, the women themselves that were the Erva, as well as their co-wives, the Tsaros of the Erva, are all forbidden in Yibum and do not require Chalitza as well. Whereas Beis Shammai said it's only the Erva that is forbidden in Yibum or Chalitza, but the co-wife, the Tsara, in fact requires either Yibum or Chalitza. And therefore, this was a very, very important machlokas, the Mishnah on Daf Beis, that opened the Masechtas Beis Hillel. The Mishnah we learned yesterday, Daf Yud Gimel, brings down the opinion of Beis Shammai, and we had a discussion at the end of yesterday's shir as to whether or not this was a lemaisa discussion, or was Beis Shammai molded to Beis Hillel and did not allow the Tsaros to do, in fact, Yibam or Chalitza. So we pick up the Gemara again, 50 lines from the top, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Uman D'Amar also, according to the opinion that said that Beis Shammai, in fact, did follow their opinion, and they were, in fact, allowing Yibum to be done to the Tzara. In that situation, why isn't there the problem of Los Hiskodidu? Karinan Kan, Los Hiskodidu. Los Asu Agudos Agudos. Why isn't this a problem of having, basically, what appears like Rachmana Litzlan, two Torahs? If you have Beis Shammai saying that this is permissible and in fact should be done, it's a mitzvah. You have Beis Hillel saying, no, it's not allowed. And if you in fact do it, you're going to have a erva situation and the children will be mamzerim. They were born from such a marriage. That's a real problem of Los Hiskodidu. Why is that not a concern? So the Gemara is going to continue to discuss this in the first part of today's shir, with the statement of Abaye. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, no. When do we say ki amrino los is go to do kigon shtei bate dinim birachas? The only time that we have a problem of los is go to do, you can't have two agudos agudos, you can't have what looks like two separate Torahs, two separate groups, that's when you're dealing with two bate dinim in one town. Halalu morim kedivrei Beis Shammai and halalu morim kedivrei Beis Hillel. And one Beis didn't pass in like Beis Shammai, one Beis didn't pass in like Beis Hillel. That's a problem. That looks like agudos agudos. However, I will stay bote dinim, stay yoros. If in Philadelphia they pass in like Beis Hillel and in Washington, D.C. they pass in like Beis Shammai, that's not a problem. If they're two bote dinim in two different cities, less lumbar. That doesn't look like agudos agudos. That's fine. That's allowable. That's what Abaye wants to suggest is the answer. Rava doesn't like this. Only Rava. How can you say that this is the answer why it's not Los Hiskodidu? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are prevalent. There were members, so to say, of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in every town. And therefore, you can't suggest that, well, in one town they followed Beis Shammai and in a separate town they followed Beis Hillel. In each town there were members of Beis Hillel. If you're telling me this was Halacha L'maisa, that they actually carried out this din. So there was one town where they didn't even do Chalitza, and they just were matir, the tzara of the erva, to be muteris lashuk, without anything, and in that same town, the Beis Shammai followers would say, no, this woman requires yibum, and if that can do yibum, so how can you tell me, Abaye, that if it's two towns, it's okay? You never have two towns. You always have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the same town. So Rava doesn't like this terrace. So how does Rava get around the fact that it's Los Hiskodidu? Why is that not a problem? Along with Rava, when do we say ki amrino Los Hiskodidu? When is there a problem of Los Hiskodidu that's only kagon Beis Din bir achas, the same Beis Din? Not that there's two separate Beis Dins in one town, that's okay. But in the same Beis Din, if you have Peleg Morin Kedivrei Beis Shammai, you Peleg Morin Kedivrei Beis Hillel, then that's a problem. The same Beis Din to be split and have half the time the Beis Din go one way, half the time the Beis Din go the other way, that's not allowed. However, Abol Shtei Bate Din and Bir Achas Lesambot. But if you have the Beis Din of Beis Shammai, okay, they come to them with a Shaila, they're going to pass them like Beis Shammai. You have the Beis Din of Beis Hillel, they're going to pass them if the Shaila comes to them like Beis Hillel. That's not a problem of Los Hiskodidu. That's called normal machlokis in halacha, and that is allowable. Okay. Mara is going to question this again. Toshma, the following brisa. It says, "Bimakomo shel Rabbi Eliezer, the famous Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, Rabbi Eliezer Agado, in his place." This is the famous parak of Rabbi Eliezer the Mila, the Gemara in Shabbos. Hayu korsim eitzim, he would allow them to actually go and chop down trees on Shabbos when you needed to do this for a bris mila. lasos pechamim b'shabbos, in order to make the charcoals, you'd cut down the tree, you'd go and light it and burn it, and then you'd make charcoals, lasos pechamim b'shabbos, lasos barzel, in order for them to make the izemel, to make the mila knife. He did not require you to do this before Shabbos. He says Shabbos is pushed aside. You're allowed to go and do this. This is at least not the way that we paskin, but this was the shita of Rebbe Elazar de Mila. This is the shita of being allowed to do all the needs of the Mila on Shabbos, even those needs that could have been done before Shabbos. And another example, Bimkomu Shel Rebbe Yossi Aglili, in the shtot of Rebbe Yossi Aglili, in his town where he held sway, Hayu Ochlin Basar Of Becholov. They allowed you to have basar of chicken, fowl with milk. He didn't consider fowl, he didn't consider chicken, duck, geese, he did not consider them fleishes. They were parva. And therefore, this is based upon the drushes of the pasuk, no sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. So his shita was only if the mother animal provides milk. Then is there an issue of basar and chalev. But if the mother animal, i.e., a chicken, a bird, a fowl, which doesn't produce milk, so then there is no iser of basar and chalav. It's not called basar. So here you have two examples of a very different practice halacha l'maisa in Rabbi Eliezer's area. They allowed you to go do all of the machshirei mila, even those that could have been done before Shabbos, on Shabbos. And in Rabbi Yossi Aglili's area, they ate chicken with milk. They would have chicken parmesan, no problem. Now, it says, Bimkomo Shel Rabbi Elazar in Bimkomo Shel Rabbi Akiva. Lo, this implies that only in the shtat, only in the area of Rabbi Elazar, the Mila, did they allow you to do the Machshirei Mila on Shabbos itself, even though Evshel Asos and Bimo Job. But in the place where Rabbi Akiva lived, he argued with Rabbi Elazar, and this is the Halacha L'maisa, you weren't allowed to do the Machshirei Mila that could have been done before Shabbos on Shabbos. The Tanya, and this is a Mishnah. Now we have the Lashon over here of the Tanya, and it says on the side, in the Masoros HaShas, that the word should be Ditzna, because it's actually a Mishnah and not a Brisa. And what did it say in this Mishnah? Kalal Omar Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva had his rule for what is allowed to be done on Shabbos, and what's not allowed to be done on Shabbos. The Mila itself, of course, is Docha Shabbos. It says, B'yom HaShmini, Timol B'saru L'so, on the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos, the Torah tells us, go do the Bris Mila. So obviously, certain things are Docha Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva's rule is as follows. Kom Locho Sheav Shalatzos in the Erev Shabbos, Ain dochas a Shabbos. Anything that could have been done before Shabbos. You could have prepared the knife before Shabbos. You don't have to go and make the izemel, the mila knife, on Shabbos. So that should be done something that's done before Shabbos. And therefore, if you didn't do it, it's not dochas Shabbos. Only things that could not have been done before Shabbos. You can't do the actual cutting of the basar before Shabbos. You may not be able to do certain other things for the bris mila before Shabbos. So that's his rule. So how come this isn't a problem of losses go to do either with Rabbi Elazar de Mila's difference of opinion from Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yossi Aglil's opinion about having chicken parmesan that basar b'chalav doesn't include chicken, doesn't include fowl? How come this isn't the problem losses go to do? So Gemara says, wait a second, why is this a problem even? You yourself just said, Rava and Abaye, makomos, makomos shiny. In two different basins, it's certainly not a problem. And this is not the same basin. In the basin of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Rabbi Elazar de Mila, so he allowed them to do it. If you went to the basin of Rabbi Akiva, he didn't allow you to do this. That's not a problem with losses go to do. We just asked that, and we just answered it. So what in the world is a tiyufta over here? That's not a problem. And the Gemara says, and this is such an obvious answer, Udu ka'arile, my ka'arile. And the one who asked this question, how come Rabbi Elazar de Mila, Rabbi Yossi Aglili aren't examples of losses go to do? What was he thinking when he asked this question? So the Gemara says, at least for Elazar de Mila, we might have thought that because Shabbos is such a severe isser, the prohibition against Chil Shabbos is such a strict thing, that it's considered kemakum echad domi, that you might consider that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva are considered in one place, even though it's two separate basins, that you might have thought that by Hilchos Shabbos this would be a different thing, kamash v'lan, that it's not, and therefore there is no problem losses go to do. And Mestama, that's the same answer that would be given for Yossi Aglili, that it's not considered a problem of losses go to do because they're two different basins, and therefore there wasn't even a havamina in regards to Yossi Aglili that should be a problem of losses go to do. The real question is only on Rabbi Elazar de Mila, that he held that you can do the machshirim even on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says you can't do the machshirim on Shabbos, and even though it's two different basins, you might have thought because of the chumrah of Shabbos that it should be considered like one basin, and therefore kamash malon, that it's not true. But that's what the questioner had asked when he says, "How come it's not a problem of losses go to do?" Continuing the Gemara discussion, Toshma, listen to the following case. The Rabbi Avo, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Avo, when he visited, however, Kiiklali Asrei, the Rabbi Shubin Levi, when he went to visit the town of Rabbi Shubin Levi, who allowed you to go and move a light on Shabbos, have a metaltel shrugger. Now, what are we talking about here? He allowed you to move a light on Shabbos, not while it was lit, but he allowed you to go and remove the light after the lamp had gone out. He allowed you to move the light because he held, like Rabbi Shimon, that it wasn't a din of muktzah. So Rabbi Shimon Levi held, like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muktzah over here, and therefore, after the light went out, it was lit on Shabbos, as Rashi says, Ner Shidliku Bo B'Shabbos, the Kova, and then it went out. He holds the Sovar law, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, he holds Ki Rabbi Shimon, the Lesle Muktzah. As opposed to Rabbi Avos Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, he holds Sovar law Ki Rabbi Yehuda, the Isle Muktzah. He held like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, this famous machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of how far we go with Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda goes further, and he says that this lamp, which had been lit for the purposes of Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, so that lamp, even after it goes out, is considered muktzah. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, holding like Rabbi Yehuda, did not allow a person to go and move the lamp after it was extinguished, after the light went out. So when Rabbi Avo went to the town of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Lokik, Lili Asrei, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, have a metalto shraga, he would follow the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, like Rabbi Shimon, that it's not muktzah, and would move it. Have a metalto shraga, he would move the lamp after it went out. However, the chi ikla li asrei the Rabbi Yochanan, but when he visited his rabbi, when he visited Rabbi Yochanan, lo metal d'shraga, he did not move the lamp. Now, the obvious question is, how come this isn't a problem of lo sizgodedu? One person seems to be following two different opinions. In the shtar of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he followed Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and moved the lamp after the light went out. And when he was in the place of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't move the lamp. So what's going on over here? How come this isn't a violation of lo sizgodedu? So when it says again, what's the kasha? V'hai makusha, v'lo amrinu makom rishayni, why is this a problem? In the shtar of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, it was permitted, so he did it. In the shtar of Rabbi Yochanan, it wasn't permitted, he didn't do it. He's not making lo sizgodedu, he's following the psak of the local area. So the Gemara says, no. Anan hachi kamrinu, this is what the question was. Rabbi Avohu, hechi ovid hocha hochi, the hechi ovid hocha hochi. How could Rabbi Avohu personally himself follow two different opinions? He followed the opinion that it wasn't muktzah, like Rabbi Shimon when he was in the town of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and he personally followed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yehuda when he was in the town of Rabbi Yochanan. So what's going on? Did he or did he not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan or like Rabbi Shimon Levi? Why did he have two different opinions depending where he was? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Avo, in fact, held Ki Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Svirulei, that it's permissible. He held, not like his Rabbi, Rabbi Avo argued with his Rabbi, he holds like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muktzah in this situation, so therefore it was hetter to move it. But when he was in the shtat of Rabbi Yochanan, al kovod to his Rabbi, v'chi mikla la'asvei de Rabbi Yochanan, lo ha'v'metalta mishum kvodo de Rabbi Yochanan, out of kovod to his Rabbi, he didn't go and move the lamp. He said it's permissible, but I'll cover it to my Rebbe. I'm not going to go move it. So there is no stira over here in Rabbi Avo's personal practice. Mori says, but what about his servants, his shamish? For ikor shamor, if Rabbi Avo's shamish sees him moving the lamp when he's in Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, so he's going to say, oh, my Rebbe holds not that it's not muktzah. And then when they go to Rabbi Yochanan's house, he's going to still move the lamp. He's not going to do and realize the covered for Rabbi Yochanan, and he's going to continue the practice of Rabbi Avo that he moves the lamp. So Yikoshama, what are you going to do about his shamis? So the Gemara says, don't. Domo de Leila Shama. Rabbi Avo will tell his shamis, listen, I paskin like Rabbi Shimon, Lesle Muksa, I paskin like Rabbi Shimon Levi. There's not a problem to move the lamp. But now that we're here in the town of my Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to follow his opinion and we'll go to Chumrah. No big deal not to move the lamp. There's no mitzvah to move the lamp. So we'll follow the opinion in this town of not moving the lamp while we're here. So he was molded to the shamash, so there shouldn't be a mistake occurring. Tosos says an obvious question. Why wasn't there just a simple answer to say that there was no need to move the lamp? Again, it's not a mitzvah to move the lamp after it was extinguished. So why don't we just simply say the reason he didn't move it was because there was no need to move the lamp? So Tosa says, no, in this situation, afilu hayano fell al taliso, even if it fell on his clothing, so it would get his clothing dirty, or he wouldn't be able to wear his clothing then, lo yimatato, he still wouldn't move it, else covered for his Rebbe. Tosus in the next Tosus, Diva Maskel, Lohav and Metaltel, also points out that this wasn't a situation of being able to move it, Muktzah, Machmas, Mius. There is no situation over here where you'd be allowed to go move it because it was disgusting. So that was not the scenario over here as well. The Tosus Yishanim brings down that the reason why this Gemara is brought over here is because it would appear to the Shamis that there is losis go to do is not a problem. You're allowed to make agudos agudos. And that's why he had to bedafka tell the Shamis, no, over here, we're just doing a chumrah as covered for the Rebbe, but it's not that there is a concern or potential concern over here of losis go to do. Toshma, we have the following raya from our Mishnah. It said, apalpi she'elu osrim de'elu matirim. Even though we had Beis Hillel saying that the woman, the Tzoras Erva, goes and gets married without Yibam or Chalitza, she's Muteris Lashuk right away. And Beis Shammai says, no, there's a mitzvah of Yibam for the Tzoras Erva. Nevertheless, we said in our Mishnah, Lo Nimnu, Beis Shammai, we didn't have any situation where Beis Shammai prevented Milisa Noshmi Beis Hillel from marrying the women from Beis Hillel, even though there would be concern that according to Beis Shammai, they weren't allowed to be married, to be over alive, because they required Chalitza before they could get married, before they were Muteris Lashuk. And likewise, Lo Beis Hillel, Mi Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel didn't refrain from marrying the girls from Beis Shammai, even though there was a concern that maybe they were Mamzerim, because they were really the product of a Tzoras Erva having Yibam with somebody, and this child is a Mamzer, according to Beis Hillel. Nevertheless, they didn't stop each other from marrying into each other's family. So Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, they intermarried. So the Gemara says, that works out great. If you hold like the opinion we had yesterday, that Beis Shammai was molded to Beis Hillel and never carried out their din in practice. We brought down Shmuel and Rav Yochanan and held like this, that they didn't in fact do it. So according to Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, so this is easily understood, why Beis Hillel married Beis Shammai girls and why Beis Shammai married Beis Hillel girls. Because there was no concern, Mishum Hochi, Lo Nimnu, because it wasn't carried out l'maisa in practice. They had one din, and they required either that they were just Muteris L'shuk right away, or they did Chalitza, and there wouldn't be any problem. Elo I Amris also, but if you hold like the opinion we brought down yesterday of Rav and Reish Lakish, that Beis Shammai carried out their din. They said the woman who's a Tzaris Erva is allowed to do Yibam. So then, Amailo Nimnu, then why didn't Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai not intermarry with each other? Why are you telling me that they didn't stop from intermarrying? Bishlomo, okay, Beis Shammai, mi Beis Hillel, lo Nimnu, we can understand why Beis Shammai would marry the people from Beis Hillel, because at worst, the Isser there would have been over a lav that a Yavama who was not allowed to get married, Lashuk, got married Lashuk, so you're over a lav. The Bnei Chayiv Lav Ninu, and any children that would come out of that marriage would, quote, only be the children from a lav type of prohibited marriage, and that doesn't turn them into Mamzerim. So they're perfectly kosher still to marry. Okay, their parents did something wrong according to Beis Shammai. They married Lashuk without having Yibam or Chalitza. And therefore, it's over a lot, but the children don't have a pagam in them. The children are perfectly permissible to marry. So we understand why Beis Shammai wasn't concerned about marrying children from Beis Hillel. However, Ela Beis Hillel, Mi Beis Shammai, Amai Lo Nimnu. But wait a second, how could the Beis Shammai Nicks be able to marry into Beis Hillel? Because after all, it's very possible that the children were children from a Yibam marriage, and therefore they would be Bnei Chai V'Krisis according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, and Mamzerim Ninu. And as a result, the children that are born from a relationship that was prohibited via Kares, those children are Mamzerim. So we can understand why Beis Shammai would marry Beis Hillel's children, but how could Beis Hillel marry Beis Shammai's children? So Gemara says, you're going to tell me, V'chitemor, Kusabri Beis Hillel, De'ei Mamzim B'chai B'krisos? You're going to tell me that Beis Hillel says that no, it's no different than a lav. Just like children of a lav aren't Mamzerim, the children of Karis aren't Mamzerim. Only the children from a marriage that was a Chayvi Mises based in, only those children are considered Mamzerim. Is that the opinion over here of Beis Hillel? But that's not true. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Afal pi shenechlechu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'tzaros, even though there was this famous machlokas that we've been talking about between the Mishnah and Daf Beis and the Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel, Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to marry a Tzoras Erva. Beis Shammai says you're mechuyev to marry a Tzoras Erva for the Yibam, or at least do Chalitza. Nevertheless, modim shein mamzer elam mi she'iser iser erva v'onish kares. But nevertheless, clearly, Beis Hillel paskin that the children born from such a relationship of an iser kares, not only Chayvi Mises Basin, but even from a regular Isser Erva that is Kares, would in fact make Mamzerim. So our question is, how could Beis Hillel marry the children of Beis Shammai? I, what must you say? Elav shmamino lo wasu. So this is a raya to the opinion of Shmuel or of Yochanan that they Shammai never carried out their shita. And it's a kasha on Rav and Reish Lakish from yesterday's shir, who said osu. Shmuel said, no, lav dafka, lo, absolutely not. Lo lamasu. You could hold like Rav, you could hold like Reish Lakish, that Beis Shammai carried out their din. And what does it mean that lo nim knew that they didn't prevent each other from marrying? Demode luhu uparshe. That Beis Hillel would ask Beis Shammai, was this a product of a yibum marriage? And Beis Shammai would tell them honestly, yes or no. And if the answer was yes, so then Beis Hillel would not marry into that family. And if the answer was no, then Beis Hillel would trust Beis Shammai. That's what it meant lo nim knew. Even though they had tremendously different shitos as to what you should do with the Tzaras Erva in the case of yibum, nevertheless, Beis Hillel trusted Beis Shammai trusted Beis Hillel, and that's what he meant, lo nim nu. So even though they actually carried out their practice, like the opinion of Rav and Reish Lakish, it's not a kash over here why the children were allowed to marry, because they trusted each other. And if Beis Shammai said, this is not a product of a yibum marriage, so Beis Hillel accepted that. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, v'chanami mistabra. You can't learn it any other way, because the Ktani Sefer, keep on reading our Mishnah, it said, Kol ha-taharos, v'chol ha-tumos, shahayu elu mitarim, elu mitamim. All of the taharos that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had, that one of them would have an opinion that they're tamei, and one of them have an opinion that they're tahar. Now, the girsa that we have is that we're dealing here with Beis Shammai lekula and Beis Hillel lechumra. That's the girsa that we have. Tosos, on Yudalot Amud Beis, Bishlama brings down that it's the exact opposite. It's dealing here, the girsa is incorrect, and it should be the Beis Hillel was the Mekel, and Beis Shammai was the Machmer. In any event, that's not critical for our understanding over here. But the understanding is that whichever Shita was more Machmer, so they would hold that the other one's more Mekel approach was actually Taros that were Tmeya. So even though they had different opinions about what was Tar and what was Tameh, Shiyu Elu Matarim, Elu Matamim, that either Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai, one of them was Matar and the other one was Matame, nevertheless, Lo Nimnu Osim Taharos Elu Agabi Elu. Nevertheless, they worked together with each other and would use the Kalim of each other to prepare the Taharos. Now, if you're telling me Lo Osu, that Beis Shammai never actually carried out their din, so then we can understand this. And we turn to your Dalit Amud Beis. If you're going to tell me that in fact the more lenient opinion was molded to the more machmir opinion, whether it's Beis Shammai being molded to Beis Hillel, like the simple reading that we have, or whether it's Beis Hillel being molded to Beis Shammai, now we understand why they made the taharos together, because they were all using the same utensils, they were working together, but they all held the same shita, because they didn't in fact pass it like the more lenient shita. They lemaisa followed everybody the more machmir shita. That's great, that's why they could work together. But if you're telling me Ela Yamris Delo Modilu, no, that this remained the machlokus in the base medrash as well as in the real world. And one of them made these Kalim saying that they're Tar, and the other opinion had that those Kalim would be that they're Tommy. So if that's true, how can they work together? Ela Yamris Delo Modilu. So then Bishlama Beis Shammai be Beis Hillel. Again, the answer we have is Beis Shammai was the more maker one. So we can understand why Beis Shammai would use the Kalim of Beis Hillel, Lo Nimnu, because their Beis Hillel was stricter, so therefore there was no concern. The Tumas, the Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai Taharos Nino. Because even if Beis Hillel said that it's Tameh, so Beis Shammai said, no, it's not a problem. We hold that it's Tar, so they could use their utensils, not a problem. But Ella, again, the gifts we have is Beis Hillel was the stricter one. Ella Beis Hillel, how could they use the Kalim of Beis Shammai? The Beis Shammai, Lom Lo Nimnu, why did they stop them from using it? After all, the Taharos that Beis Shammai says are Tahorim, and the Kalim are Tahorim, the Beis Hillel Tumas Nino. According to Beis Hillel, the stricter opinion, they're going to be Tummy. Again, Tosus in Debra Masel B'Shlomo flips it around. But the bottom line is, how could they do this? Oh, what must you say if Rav and Reish Lakish are to be correct in saying that Beis Shammai actually did their more lenient opinion, or like Tosa says, that Beis Hillel did their more lenient opinion? How could they share utensils? Ella mustn't it be lav demodilu, that they said, oh, by the way, while we consider these kalim utensils tahorim, you would consider them tmeim. So this one you can't borrow, but this one we all agree is tahar, and this one you can borrow. So mustn't that be shmamina? It must be a raya that they told each other, not that they didn't carry out their practices, but they were honest with each other and said, you can't use this utensil, but you can use that utensil. So why do we give this second teretz to Gemara now? We ask, why did you have to say, oh, the raya that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were molded to each other the various halachalamaisa practical differences that they had, and therefore they didn't have to prevent themselves from getting married or from using the utensils. So what's stronger that we said that you have to give us this case of the utensils? What was wrong with just saying by the marriage? And we would know that lo nimnu means that the modi lahu. So the Gemara says, no, ma'u detema, I might have thought that the tsaras erva, tsara kala isla. Wow, everybody, Nebuch, knows that somebody died childless, and everybody knows that they fell to Yibam, and everybody knows that then there was a Yibam marriage, because it's a very public event. So therefore, I might have said that, in general, we can't rely upon the Modi Lahu, except in a situation where Kola Islay, it's so well known and publicized, there we can rely upon the fact that if we don't know that somebody was a product of a marriage of Yibam, of a Tzaras Erva, so we don't have to worry about it, because if it was a product of such a marriage, we would know about it. But Lav Dafka, that would be true by Kalim. Kalim isn't well publicized. So therefore, Kamash Velon, the Chiddush in mentioning the case of the Kalim, is to teach us, even there, when it's no kol, there is no public knowledge, nevertheless, they were trustworthy, and each one was able to borrow utensils, as long as they said, this is not a problem for you to use such a utensil. You would hold that this utensil is tar, just like we do. Okay. Now the Gemara goes back and discusses what we had early in the shir. Gufa, Amar Belozer, Alpha Bishanechlu Beishame Beisil, Bitzaros, Modim Shein Mamzer Elim Misha Isser Erva Vanush Kares. We had said that this goes according to the Shita, that a Mamzer is only Nebuch created from a relationship that was at least an Isser of Kares, or up. Obviously, if you hold that a Mamzer comes from an Isser of Kares, so then it also comes from an Isser of Misas Beistin. So the Gemara said that was the din that everybody held like in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we said that modim shein mamzer. Who's this modim? Who's modim to? Man modim. Ilema Beis Shammai is moda le Beis Hillel. If you're telling me Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel, that the product from such a marriage, if there was really a truly an onish of kares, would be a mamzer. But a marriage, for example, of a woman who was a yavama and she went and married Muteris Lashuk without having Yibam Chalitza, that's only a lav, and that certainly is not a mamzer. So then, if you're telling me that Ilema Beis Shammai is moda to Beis Hillel, so then Pshita, obviously, because Beis Shammai has no problem with Beis Hillel, albeit they say that you're over lav by not doing Yibam Chalitza, but it's only a lav, and there is no mamzer, so therefore the children are perfectly good. B'nei Chayvi Lavim Kisherim Ninu, and therefore, why would Beis Shammai have any problem with marrying the children from Beis Hillel? Ella Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai, that's a real problem. Hagufa chai v'karasi. So how could you tell me that Beis Hillel is molded to Beis Shammai in this situation? They say the child would be a mamzer. Hagufa chai v'krisasi. They hold that if you have a relationship of Yibam with the Tzaras Erva, that's a prohibited marriage with a prohibition of an Issacharis of Ashes Ach, and therefore the children would be mamzerim. So what are they molded to? Shmuel says, no. Leolam Beis Shammai is molded to Beis Hillel. Aye, and that which we're dealing here with a chayve lavin. So what was there to be moda about? Well, lafukim in Rabbi Akiva. This is to go and take it out of consideration that Rabbi Akiva is the correct opinion. That Rabbi Akiva holds the Omar yesh mamzer mechayve lavin. According to Rabbi Akiva, if a woman was mechuyevis in Yibam and she married Lashuk without having chalitza done to her first, so that child is the product, any child that would be born from that marriage would be the product of a prohibited relationship of the lav of not being allowed to be married until you get chalitza. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the child born from a chayvi lavim is also a mamzer. I mentioned many times, we're going to have this later in the Masechta, there are five possible shitas as to what can create a mamzer. According to Rabbi Akiva, even a relationship from chayvi lavim is capable of making a mamzer. So therefore, that's what this is moda. Kamash v'lon dein mamzer mechayvi lavim. So Beis Shammai, when they're moda to Beis Hillel over here, Shein mamzer elav mishi yisur iser erba v'yonash kares, is to say that they hold like that shita and not like the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Toshma, we have another brayse that says the following: Afal pi shenechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'tzaros, even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued as to the tzaros erva, Beis Shammai again says you're chayvim yibam, Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to do yibam, you're not obligated to do chalitza. So even though they argue in that case, and they argue in the case of the Achoyos, what is the case of the Achoyos? So Rashi reminds us that this will be a din that we're going to learn in the next perek on Daf Chavov, where you have four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Rachel is married to Reuven, and the other sister, Leah, is married to Shimon. And then Nebuch, both Reuven and Shimon die. And now the two sisters, separately, but bottom line is, are both falling to Levi and to Yehuda, and you have the problem of achos zikukoso, that you can't go and have Levi do Yibum to one and Yehuda do Yibum to the other, which would technically have been fine under other circumstances. But here, if Levi is going to do Yibum to one of them, the other one is achos zikukoso. So you can't do Yibum according to this opinion with either one of them, and you have to do chalitza with both of them. Each one of the wives will require chalitza, either from Levi or from Yehuda. Each one of the two sisters, both Rachel and Leah, would require chalitza to be done to them from either Levi or Yehuda. You don't need chalitza for both. You need chalitza from one of them. What happens if, in fact, however, Levi did Yibam with one and Yehuda did Yibam with the other? So there really is no achos ishto here. It's only achos zikukaso. So Beishamai says, no, if they did it, if they got married, you're not mechuyev to get them divorced. They're allowed to stay married. Beisil says, no, they have to go get divorced. They're not allowed to stay married. So even though they argue on that case as well, this is the case of the Achayos. And even though Beisham and Beisil argue, beget Yoshon. What is a get Yoshon? So Rashi over here tells us, this is dealing with, and the Bach adds the word, v'hamegaresh es ishto, v'lono imo bipundoki. A man, Nebuch, chose to divorce his wife, and he wrote her a get, but he didn't give it to her. And now, he stays overnight in a hotel with her, so we're concerned that Libo Gaspa, they're very familiar with each other, their husband and wife, and they're going to have relations with each other, and that's going to be mevatel the get. Nevertheless, Beishamai says, no, that get is still good. Beisil says that get is not good. See, here's another case where Beishamai and Beisil had major machlokas in terms of these marriage relationships. Likewise, with Sofik Eishes Ish. What case is this? So Rashi, this Rashi is all the way up at the top, on the first of the thin lines in Rashi. So he gives several pshatim for this. So he brings down from Perek Beishamai, it says over there that Beishamai's opinion is Ein Mimanim Elo Arusos. Beishamai only allows a Yavam to have Miyun done with the Yavam if the marriage, let's say to Reuven, was with a Ketana, but they had only done Erisin, the first stage of marriage, and never had actually consummated the marriage. So then, if Reuven dies, so Beishamai allows Miyun to be done to the Yavam. But Beisil says, no, you can do Miyun even if the first marriage was consummated. And therefore, this is a sofik eishes ish, because maybe she wouldn't be married to Reuven, maybe she would, because he can always do miyun. And therefore, this is the example of sofik eishes ish, the machlokas between Beisil and Beishamai. However, Rashi brings down an alternative shot, which he prefers, lishna achrina, nira, it's talking about a shchiv mira, a person on his deathbed, shekosa leisha, and he writes to his wife, he doesn't want her to fall yibam, he doesn't want her to have problems, so he writes, ze gitech, this is your get, mehayom, from now. In Macy, Micholi said, if I in fact do die from this illness that I'm in the midst of, he's a Shriv Meirah, he's on his deathbed, so then you're retroactively divorced from this moment in time while he's still alive. So Kol Osam Hayamim, now until he either passes away or he gets better from this illness, during that period of time, maybe she's going to be divorced, maybe she's not going to be divorced. If he dies, she's actually a divorced woman at that time. If he lives, then she's not a divorced woman. So this is what Rashi says is the Sofik Eishes Ish. Like we have the Gemara in Gittin. Mahi kol osan hayomim. What is she during that period of time? So Yosu Mer be loso sofik, that if they were to have relations then, it's a question, is he having relations with his wife or not? And we learn the Mishnah over there, lotis yachidimo, they shouldn't be together alone, el apiedim, to prevent them from having this potential for relations then. Even though it doesn't mention this, machlos b'sham v'sila, nevertheless, hakoch nechlugu ba'oso machlokes, shenechlugu b'megaris ishto v'lonimo b'pundiki. So, the Rashi points out that this is the same machlokes, just like we have by the get yoshon, so this would also be, l'bei shamei damrei lo amrinon, hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide biya, eino tzuchem enu get, sheni, wouldn't require a new get. So this same machlokas by the get yoshan is Rashi understanding that it's the same machlokas over here with regards to if the get was given by the shchiv meira and then they're alone together, would we say that that get was nullified by the fact that they had relations and that get no longer is valid? So that same machlokas is another case of the machlokas between Beishamai and Beis Hillel, sofik eishes ish. And then we actually have the case of Bulgaris Ishisto Veloni Mobipundiki. So it says over here, this case. Likewise, how much is the kesef kiddushin? Bekesef ubishava kesef bepruta ubishava pruta. So do you need to give, like Beis Shammai says, a more significant amount of money to be mekadesh a woman, either kesef or shava kesef, that it has to be a dinar's worth of money, versus the opinion of Beis Hillel that says even a pruta, a penny's worth, or a shava pruta makes the kiddushin valid. And this would have a nafkamina if two people were to marry a woman, or try to marry a woman, the first one gave a shava pruta, the second one gave a shava kesef. So according to Beis Shammai, the first one wasn't a valid marriage, and she's married to the second one. According to Beis Hillel, the first one was a valid marriage, and the second one is nothing. So obviously, you have a major difference over here between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So nevertheless, even though they have all of these machlokas in on very, very lofty issues, is the woman considered an eishes ish, or is the woman not considered an eishes ish, and the ramifications of any children in that situation, nevertheless, it says, lo nimnu beis shammai, mi lisa nosha mi beis hillel, v'lo beis hillel mi beis shammai. Nevertheless, they each went and allowed marriages to occur between their different camps. And this teaches us, lamedcha, Shechiba, the Reus, no argument ever there, with tremendous love and tremendous friendship that they had with each other. Lekai Mashnemar, to fulfill that pasuk, which is brought down in Zechariah, where it says, Ha'emes v'yasholom ehavu. You should always love emes, truth. You should always love shalom, peace. And this was a fulfillment of that idea, even though they had tremendously different halacha l'maisa perspectives as to whether this woman is allowed to be married or not allowed to be married to somebody else, and whether the children will be mamzerim or not mamzerim. Nevertheless, they treated each other with tremendous respect and love. And Rav Shimon Omer, Nimnun heim min havadai below Nimnun min hasafik. Rav Shimon adds, and he says, so when it says that they didn't prevent each other from marrying each other's children, and vice versa, that meant that they wouldn't go and marry a vadai mamzer, according to their opinion, but if it wasn't known, so then if it was only a suffix, maybe this was or maybe this wasn't, so they wouldn't prevent each other from marrying in this situation. Now, what do you see from here? E amris bishlomo osu, if you in fact say that Beis Shammai carried out their halacha l'maisa, different opinion than Beis Hillel, like Rav and Reish Lakish did. So then we understand, Mishum Hachi Nimnu. That's why they, in some situations, Rabbi Shimon said, Nimnu, they did in fact not marry. But Eli Amris Lawasu, if you in fact told like Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, that now Beis Shammai had that in the base Medrash, but they didn't hold it Halach L'maisa, so then why didn't they allow the children to marry under any circumstances? Am I Nimnu? So Gemara says, really? Is that how you understand this? Rabbi Shimon says, Nimnu Hemin Avadai V'lo Nimnu Asafek means that they absolutely carried out their din halach l'maisa and akash on Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. But Tisbara, do you really think so? Granted, Nehi Nami Da'asu. Certainly, Beis Shammai did what they said. But Bishlama Beis Hillel Nimnu Beis Shammai. We understand why Beis Hillel refrained from marrying the women from Beis Shammai, because again, those children will be mamzerim. The Chayvei Krisus Ninhu or mamzerim him with Beis Hillel. That's why Beis Hillel couldn't marry from Beis Shammai. But Ella Beis Shammai amai nimnu Beis Hillel. Why then would you have Beis Shammai not marrying the children Beis Hillel? Because at worst, b'nei Chayvei lav ninu, it would only be over a lav uksherim ninu. The same question that we asked before. So this isn't an adequate answer. Even if you want to say asu, why would the Beis Shammai not marry the Beis Hillel? So Gemara says, this is going to be like a teretz we're going to have in tomorrow's shir. Kedomer of Nachum Yitzchak in tomorrow's shir, on Daf Tesvav. And he said, Lo Nitzucho Elo Letzora Atzma. He's going to answer this similar question by saying that we're not dealing with the children, because you're right, the children is not a problem. But the Tzara herself, what is her status? And just like Rav Nachum or Yitzchak is going to answer that by saying we're dealing with the Tzara, so to Ovi Hachanami, the critical point was, we're talking here about the Tzoras Erva herself. That was the problem, and not the children that we're dealing with. Because you're right, the children would not be mamzerim, according to the opinion that you only have mamzerim from a chayvei krisus. And here, there is no chayvei krisus if the situation was that it was just a yavama that married Lashuk without having chalitz. Tomorrow says, Umay shnom in a vadai. Why did Rabbi Shimon say from the vadai that he didn't allow them to, di suruhu, so sofik nami suru, a sofik also, it's a potential shaila, so why did they not refrain from the sofik situations? Someone says, you misunderstood Rav Shimon. Lo tema min ha-sofik, he wasn't talking about a real sofik situation. Elo'ema min ha-stam, he was saying, when there was no sofik situation, it was just a regular case with the children from Beis Shammai who wanted to marry the children from Beis Hillel. And it was a stam case. There was no suspicion here that this was one of the questionable cases. And in that situation, the modi luhu or parshe, because if in fact there had been a problem, they would have spoken up. And therefore, that's why they were allowed to marry each other in the other cases. It wasn't a suffix situation, but it was a stam situation. The stam situation, they were allowed to go marry, because otherwise they would have been molded that this was the problem. It says, Umay Kamash, well, what's the chiddush over here that we said, this is Rabbi Shimon's teaching us the chiddush over here, the Ava of Ereus, Nogim Zevzeh, Hain Ereshah. How is this any chiddush over here to say that this is Ava of Ereus? That's exactly what the first part is. So the answer is, Ha Kamash, Lord, the Kula Rabbi Shimon he. No, it's not that there are two opinions over here. Rabbi Shimon wasn't the separate opinion. Rabbi Shimon was the opinion of the Reisha, and he's the opinion of the Sefer. And that's the chiddush over here to teach us that this is all one opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It's not two separate opinions. The Gemara continues and brings another raya that, in fact, Beis Shammai did do what they said they would, not just the theoretical discussion of the Beis Medrash, but like Rav and Reish Lakish, they actually did their halacha lemaisa application of their din lemaisa. Toshma, the Brisa says the following. Rav Yochanan Nuri had a great idea. He said, why should we have this machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai that could lead to these terrible situations where, according to Beis Shammai, the children of Amzerim, according to Beis Hillel, they're the product of a lav, not a good idea. So he says, I have the perfect suggestion. Because why should we allow this to happen? Why should this become widespread in Klal Yisrael? If we were to pass like Beis Shammai, that's a problem. Havlad Mamzer, the Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, that child's a Mamzer. So therefore, that can't be the way that we'll make the halacha that it should be like Beis Shammai, because a significant percentage of the population, all those who follow Beis Hillel, would say that those children are Mamzerim. Likewise, though, if we just follow the opinion of Beis Hillel that you don't need chalitza or yibam at all, that the woman is just muteris l'shuk, this would lead to a situation, havlad pogum l'dibri Beis Shammai. Yes, it wouldn't be a mamzer, but it would be a child that's born out of a situation where the parents were married, and it was allowed for the parents to get married, so that's not a good idea. So you know what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said? Bo unisakin lahem latsoros. We'll go and make a correction over here, a fix that will be making everybody happy. We won't allow Yibum to take place, so therefore there's no concern that Beis Hillel will say that the Tzaris Erva is having children with an Isser of Kare, Sevesha Sach, that would lead to the children being Mamzerim, but we don't let the woman just be Muteris L'shuk, we make her undergo Chalitza. I mean, Marushach. Chalitza is acceptable to Beis Hillel, and it's not the end of the world, according to Beis Shammai, if you go and do a Chalitza instead of Yibum. And likewise, if you didn't require anything, so nishkefelo. So the woman underwent chalitza, even though nothing was technically required. And we turn to Tezvav and Aleph. This takana of Rav Yochanan Nuri, Shul Cholzos, Lo Besiadmos, seems to solve all the problems. As Rashi says, V'inosu l'shuk behechsha l'divri akol. Now when the woman goes and marries out in the market, she's a free woman because she had chalitza if chalitza was necessary. And if it wasn't necessary, okay, so she became a chalutza, not the end of the world. And this way we solve all the problems. And then nobody has to worry about anybody marrying a child that's a mamzer or a child that's the product of a lav marriage. However, this never was able to be enacted. Lo hispiku ligmores adavar. This was proposed, but it wasn't able to be enacted because before they were able to enact it, Asha Nitrifa Asha, the hour was scrambled. And unfortunately, a war broke out, the persecution of the Jewish people in Nebuch occurred, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow this proposal of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri to be enacted. And the halacha was eventually established, like Beis Hillel, that the Tzar of Erva is Potter, and this is the halacha Lamaisa. Indeed, the Gemara, however, on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, does bring down an opinion that subsequent to this war, when it was no longer Nitrifa Ashur, there was an opinion that says they did in fact enact this suggestion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and therefore this solved the problem once and for all. Or alternatively, the halach is just like Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai b'Malkum Beis Hillel is not considered a machlokes. Amalo Rishim Gamliel said, however, Ma Nasilem Litzaros Harishonos Miata. Says, wait a second, you've solved the problem going forward, but what about all the women that underwent Yibam until now? According to Beis Shammai, they went Yibam correctly. So what's going to be for them? Their children are still going to be Mamzerim. So Gemara says, oh, here you see a raya from Rishim Gamliel that Beis Shammai, in fact, carried out their opinion. We understand Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel's concern about all of those children that already had been born from these Tzaras Ervas undergoing Yibum, that those children were in fact Mamzerim, according to Beis Hillel. So what about them? How are we going to correct them? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is only Mikanu Lahaba going forward, but it doesn't do anything retroactively. So what do you see from here? That clearly they did it. Elu Yamris Lo Asu, if you said that they didn't do it, so then what was Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel's concern? My
Manasa. What is he saying? Oh, what are we going to do about them? If it never happened, it never happened. So let's bring a riot from here that we in fact hold like Rav and Reish Lakish. The Beis Shammai in fact did halacha l'maisa, their opinion. Mor says no. And here's what we have. I thought we'd get to it in tomorrow's share. We're actually getting to it today's share. Here's what we have, the statement from Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that we brought earlier in the share. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo nitzucha ela latzara atzma. Rav Shimon Gaon Liel wasn't talking about the previous mamzerim. There is no correction for them. He's talking about the women who are married. Okay, the children isn't the concern. But this woman who was a tzaras erva and she underwent yibam. What are we going to do about her now? Uma nasa hochikamar. When Rav Shimon Gaon Liel said, what are we going to do about her? This is what he meant. Hanoch Tsaros de Beis Hillel. These Tsaros Erva, according to Beis Hillel, did not require Yibum or Chalitza. And they got married Lashuk. So now these women are married, and they're in a situation which, according to Beis Shammai, is over a lav. So what are we going to do to correct them? Hanoch Tsaros de Beis Hillel. Le Beis Shammai Hechi Navdu. How will we, quote, make them kosher according to Beis Shammai? What are we going to do for them? Should we say, okay, so undergo chalitza now, albeit they're married, so undergo chalitza, and this will solve that problem. Lech litzu, that's not right. Mimase agavrayu, their husbands, who they're married to, say, okay, my wife should undergo chalitza while she's married to me, she should undergo chalitza with somebody else, it's pasnish, it's not nice, it's disgusting. It's going to make them think that, whoa, I wasn't allowed to be married to her, so I'm going to divorce her because I'm not allowed to be married to her. So that's not right. No, Gemara says, no, so let's worry about that if and when it happens. So let them have to undergo this chalitza process. It will be a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit of a Moe's dicker situation that they won't really enjoy having it done, but this will solve the problem for the future. That can't be it, because we know the whole Nisivosel Shalom, because the ways of the Torah are always very pleasant. The ways of the Torah are Darche Noam, are roads of pleasantness. And the whole Nisivosel and all the paths, they are Shalom, they lead to peace. And the Torah would never recommend, Chazal would never recommend that we do something that would in turn be Mos. And therefore, that's not a good suggestion. It won't correct anything, and there's nothing that we can do to satisfy all the prior events that have taken place. That's what Rabbi Nachman Yichud said. This is referring to the Tzara Atzma, and there is no solution to go and correct her. According to Beis Hillel, she didn't require chalitza. According to Beis Shammai, she required yibum or chalitza. With this, we conclude today's shir.